Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Now, I'll tell you what, you know what's amazing is this month, perhaps even this week, 9 years ago, my family and I moved 1,300 miles to Findlay, Ohio, in Hancock County. And up until then, the only Hancock I had known about was Herbie. And so the fact that we're now in this community to help plant a church, it was a bold step, right? Just an absolutely bold step. 35 people saying, man, we feel called to plant a church. You know, we met in the Lighthouse building that Youth for Christ owns on 224. And just remarkable, and I think over the last 9 years to where we are today, that by the grace of God, he has grown this church to 600 people. We've helped to launch Bluffton Community down in the town of Bluffton. We've been able to launch Lighthouse Online, and God is reaching so many different people. And I'm thinking back to 9 years ago where we started. And I'm just wondering, in the room right now, and maybe you're also joining online, do we have like any OGs in the room? Like, you were here on year one when we started. Would you just like raise your hand and be like, I was here. Man, look at that. That is so cool. Like, I love that. Can we just, man, praise God that we have so many people still here today that were there 9 years ago. That's uncommon. You need to know that. That is uncommon, and it's by the grace of God. And when we started 9 years ago, we started with the commitment to really clearly explain and make Scripture understandable for everybody. We started with a desire for people to use the gifts that the Holy Spirit was giving them in ministry. We started with the desire to just help people walk with God. That's how we used to say it, actually, in the early days. We just want to help people walk with God. That was a language that we used 9 years ago. Some of you guys might remember us talking about that. And over the last 9 years, we've faced some different temptations. We've had, you know, people tell us, well, if you're really going to be a successful church, you have to have a certain music style. You have to, you know, choose your demographic wisely and thoughtfully so you can grab that group of people. We had people tell us that the way we were doing groups would never work. Perhaps the last few weeks, Pastor Matt has said that that was wrong, right? I think we have the most people ever signed up in one day. Well, there's over 300 signed up for groups right now, which is remarkable. We had people tell us all kinds of different things. And what I love is that the Spirit has led our elders and our leaders to stay committed to those core fundamentals: truth, hospitality, a focus on discipleship, intentional outreach into our community. And the way we say it today is we help people say yes to Jesus' leadership in their lives. That is fundamentally who we are and what we do. Now, when I think about the last 9 years into where we are now, to me, that raises a new question. It actually begs a question. The question is this: what's next? Where might the Spirit be leading us as we go forward? Where do we go from here? And it's very easy to look at that question as a church, and I think that is a question we should be asking as a church and thinking about, but it's also a personal question, right? What about for your family? What's next? What about for your work? What's next? What about for your friendships? What about for your own personal walk with God? Where is the Spirit leading next? Where do we go from here? And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about. So if you brought a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open up to John chapter 15. John is the fourth book in the New Testament. It's one of the Gospels. While you're going there, I want to let you know who I am. My name's Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really glad every one of you are here, whether you are an OG from 9 years ago. By the way, I shared that with somebody not too long ago, and they said, what's an OG? And I said, you, right? By the way, that means original gangster. And he said, oh, so like wearing black suits and hats and shiny shoes is like not that original, right? right? Don't think Al Capone, think Biggie Smalls. Anyways, we're so grateful for all of you. Grateful for all of our guests who are in the house. Everybody join us at Lighthouse Online. I promised Lance I would get it right today. If you are joining at Facebook or YouTube, I would encourage you, jump over to lighthousecommunity.online.church. And man, you get access to everything, the chat, all the online resources, those types of things. So go check that out. And Lighthouse family, can you do me a favor as your pastor? Can we take a moment and just welcome all of our guests and everybody at Lighthouse Online and let them know how glad we are that you're with us today? We love you. I love you. Our church loves you. This is why we do what we do, because of God and because of you. So before we go any further, I want to pray. God, I am really excited to talk about this morning. And what my prayer is that you would not allow me to put any confidence in my own ability, but to rely on the Holy Spirit in a very real way in this time and in this moment. And I would pray that same thing for all of my family and friends here this morning, that we would not approach this moment like, well, it's just any other Sunday and do what we typically do, but rather to recognize we have already and we are continuing to have a very real encounter with the living God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, who is the God of Jesus, and he is our God as well. And so, Spirit, we invite you to open our minds and our hearts completely to you, to see you in a fresh way like maybe we have never seen before through your truth and through the community today. We ask these things in the good name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so before we read this passage, let me give you a quick setup to it. Jesus is hours away from being killed on the cross, and so he's essentially giving some of his last words to his disciples, letting them know things that he really wants them to know. These are some of the most important core things that he is sharing with his disciples. And there's one theme I want to bring out before we read this passage that I want you to notice when we're reading through this, that what Jesus is doing here is he was preparing his disciples for the next season of ministry, okay? And what he was preparing them to do was he was preparing them to shift their reliance from him in the flesh to the Spirit living in them, okay? That's what's going on here. He was preparing them to learn how to rely on the Spirit in life and in ministry, okay? That's the core thing that's going on. So look at John 15. We're going to start in verse 26, and here's what it says. It says, when the advocate, this is the name that Jesus gives the Holy Spirit, he says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I thought you would run away. Because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you're filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Notice that. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So hopefully what you're seeing here is this idea is that Jesus was in real time preparing the disciples to rely on the Spirit in life and in ministry. That's what's going on here. So Jesus was with them in the flesh. They're now moving to walking with the Spirit. I think we need to do really quickly a 101 on the Holy Spirit. We can't do a deep dive, but I think we need to do some broad brushstrokes. When we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we are talking about God Himself. This is what we're talking about when we refer to the Trinity, that God is, there's one God who is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and each person is fully God, okay? So it's not like, you know, with our forces combined, we make up, you know, Captain God. That's not what's happening here. God the Father is God, God the Son is God, God the Holy Spirit is fully God, and yet He's three people, okay? The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an energy. He's not a force. He's a person. In the scriptures, the Spirit is referred to as He, right? Personhood, not energy. When you look in the scriptures, you see that the Holy Spirit helped at creation. The Holy Spirit helped when Jesus came into the world in the flesh. The Holy Spirit helped in Jesus' resurrection. That's talked about in Romans. And the Holy Spirit helped in writing the Bible through humans, okay? And so what we also know about the Holy Spirit is He helps us walk with Jesus. He helps us follow Jesus. And in fact, if you remember in the passage, Jesus called Him what? The Advocate. And another way that that can be understood is a helper, a counselor, a helper. And so Jesus calls Him the Advocate, the helper, which means if He's the helper, that means we can ask Him for help. Right? We can ask Him for help because that's His role. And what Jesus does is He shows us and He shows the disciples how and what to ask the Spirit help for and help in. So what can you ask the Holy Spirit for help for? The first one is this, is that you can ask the Spirit to strengthen you in trying times. This is one of the first things you can do. You can ask the Spirit to strengthen you in trying times. So what Jesus said, He goes, listen, you're My disciples. You are going to face difficulty. It's going to happen. And He says things like this. When you go out to testify about Me, things are going to happen to you. Things like you're going to be thrown out of the synagogue. Now, for us, we don't really fully understand that. So we go, okay, big deal. But you have to understand the synagogue is the center of community life. If you're not a part of the synagogue, you're not a part of the community. You're ignored. You're on the outside. And if you're thrown out of the synagogue, you're also thrown out of your family. So what Jesus is saying, when you start doing ministry in My name and you start telling other people about Me, you're going to face really significant opposition. And it's going to be so strong. There are going to be times you're going to be tempted to give up. You're going to be thrown out of the synagogue. He goes, and in fact, it's going to get all the way to the point where people are going to kill you. And they think they're doing a service to God when they do it. They think it'll be an act of worship by killing you. We see this play out in the book of Acts, right? You get to Acts 7 and you meet a believer by the name of Stephen. And he's the first Christian killed for his faith. We see James, one of the disciples, is killed in the book of Acts. If you know the story about Saul, Saul used to travel around hunting down Christians to arrest them. He stood in the approval in the death of Stephen, right? So Jesus was talking about things that actually ended up happening. And He says, listen, you're going to face trying times. And in those moments, you can ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen you in those trying times. And He says, not only are you going to face difficulty through that, but let me add one more thing into this. I'm leaving, right? I'm leaving. So think about that. This is the disciples' rabbi. This is their best friend. And He says, I'm leaving. They didn't fully understand that. We look back, we know now, right? Jesus was talking about His death. He was talking about His resurrection. He was talking about His ascension. But He says, listen, I'm leaving. And I know that's going to be challenging. But you can ask the Spirit to strengthen you in those difficult times. And I want to point out, we did it as we read it. Did you hear what Jesus said? He said, it is good for you that I go. In fact, He says it's better. It's better for you that I go. And so what Jesus is saying is it's better for you to have the Spirit of God living inside of you than to have Jesus in the flesh next to you. Think about that. I think that's like a dream for some of us, is to like walk through the day, Jesus right next to you. And Jesus goes, don't do that. Yeah, go ahead and do that. I would not eat that. But I wish Jesus was with me and my family at Taco Bell last night and was like saying, Fritz, sweet Fritz, just don't. Right? That would have been so much easier. But Jesus said, it is better for you to have the Spirit living in you than to have me walking next to you. That is a crazy thought. As a follower of Christ, you are going to face trying times simply because of your faith. If you're genuinely walking with Jesus, for some of us, it's no fun. Listen, I've been here, it's no fun. But if you're genuinely walking with Jesus, it will cost you some friendships. Not because you cut them off, but because your friends cut them off. Because you won't do the things you used to do. You won't live the way you used to live. And your walking with God reminds them that they're not. And it's easier to not have you in their life than with you. Some of you who own businesses and are oversee business, your faith is gonna cost you. Your faith is gonna cost you when you run your business, how you run your business, certain deals that you make. By the way, if it doesn't, your faith, just move on. your faith is going to cause you to fight against sin, to battle against temptation. This is like a daily battle that's going on. It's happening inside of us. Like, you are going to face challenging times to do right instead of wrong. And when those moments come, what Jesus said is you can ask the Spirit to strengthen you. This is what he does. In fact, there's a prayer that Paul prayed for a group of believers who lived in the city of Ephesus. We find it in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Let's do this. Let's actually read this prayer out loud together, starting with, I pray that. Are you ready? Go. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. The prayer is that the Spirit would strengthen you, right? That is a prayer that you can pray. And so when you're tempted to give up, when you're facing trying times, you don't have to just grit your teeth and try to be better. You can simply ask the Spirit to strengthen you. This is what Jesus told the disciples to do, right? This is one of his roles that he does. The second thing Jesus instructs us on that we can ask the Spirit is that we can ask the Spirit to soften hearts before you speak. You can ask the Spirit to soften hearts before you speak. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 says that your heart is like this. Your heart is like a stone. Your heart is like a rock. Without Jesus, without the Spirit, your heart is hard like this. It's cold. It's dead. It's not moving, right? That's how the Bible describes our condition without God. And what the Holy Spirit does is he actually softens your heart through what's known as conviction. That's what Jesus was talking about in verses 8, 9, 10, and 11, right? That he's going to prove, he's going to convict, he's going to convince. That word conviction literally means to become convinced, right? That you see what the Spirit sees. You are convinced that what he is showing you is true and is right, that what Scripture says is true and is right. What are the things that he's going to convince you about? Well, Jesus says he's going to convince you about sin, that the core of sin is unbelief in Jesus, and that erupts into all kinds of other manifestations. He'll convince you of things like what James says in chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. James says, it always starts out as temptation. Temptation then gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's had its full effect, gives birth to death. The Holy Spirit will convince you that sin is deadly. because he'll convince you about sin. It also says he'll convince you about righteousness, right? Romans chapter 3, verse 22 says it this way, that this righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all those, Jew or Gentile, who believe and trust in him and acknowledge him as God's son. The Holy Spirit will convince you that you need righteousness to walk with God, but you can't rely on your own righteousness. You actually need a righteousness that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's for everybody. It's for the religious. It's for the unreligious. It's for the people who have good morals. It's for the people who have no morals. Every single person needs the righteousness of Christ applied in their life through faith. And I love the way the Amplified expresses that. It's trusting in him and acknowledging him as God's son. This is absolutely core to walking in righteousness with God, and the Holy Spirit will convince you of that. And the Holy Spirit will also convince you of judgment. He'll convince you that Satan is already lost. It's just a matter of time. He'll convince you that one day every single one of us is going to stand before God to be judged, and the guilty will be condemned to eternal separation, and the righteous will be welcomed into eternal life with God. What is the dividing line between the guilty and the righteous? Faith in Jesus. That's the core. That's the core. Have I allowed the grace of Christ to overwhelm me and be applied to my life? When you sense guilt, when you sense shame, when you sense regret in your life over sinful decisions you've made, that is the Holy Spirit softening your heart. When you sense a desire to live well, when you sense a desire to know God deeply, that is the Spirit of God softening your heart. When you have a moment of dread over the end of your life and what may or may not happen when this life is over, and you sober up, that's the Spirit of God softening your heart. He's moving your heart from this into a heart of flesh that can now begin to interact and connect with the Lord Jesus Christ. People need the Spirit to soften their hearts, and Jesus says you can ask for it. He's a helper. You can ask for his help in that, and you should. Here's the last thing that Jesus says to ask the Spirit, is that you can ask the Spirit to guide your words with truth. Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth, who guides in all truth. He says the Spirit is going to empower you to glorify Jesus. The Spirit's going to enable you to talk about Jesus at different times. This is what he does. By the way, that promise, we see it fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, this is after Jesus' death, after his resurrection, after his ascension, when Jesus leaves and goes back to live in heaven, right? Think about this. Acts chapter 2, the disciples are hiding, they're scared, they're facing trying times. What are we going to do? The Spirit shows up and he fills them. And in the process of that, the Holy Spirit convicts everybody within earshot, and he enables the disciples to speak truth with great clarity. And in Acts chapter 2, you see the very first miracle of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what the first miracle of the Holy Spirit is? It's not a healing. It's not Peter having the ability to fly, right? Like nothing along those. You want to know what the first miracle that we're witness to in Acts chapter 2? It's the clear sharing of the gospel and 3,000 people coming to life through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the first miracle that the Holy Spirit does. That's important, and we should take note of that. That the very first miracle the Holy Spirit does is brings people to life through faith in Jesus. God will open up doors for you to tell others about Jesus. And when it happens, most people let fear win. Right? You see the open door, you can walk through and you go, I can't, right? But you don't have to let fear win, right? You can simply ask the Spirit to help you guide your words of truth. This is what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. He says, listen, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time, for it's not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you, right? You can ask the Spirit to guide your words with truth. Listen, there have been times on this stage that I have experienced that. I'm up here teaching, I'm working through my notes, and all of a sudden, this like sentence or this phrase comes out of my mouth, and it's not in my notes, and it's not something I thought of, and I go, that's pretty good. You gotta write that down, right? I didn't have time to get in the notes, it's so good, right? And so, right, I sense it's like, okay, this is too profound for Fritz. This is the Spirit of God literally giving me something in real time to share with you. And when I think about my personal life, each time that I've broken free from fear to share the gospel with someone I know that was the Spirit empowering me. I know that was the Spirit strengthening me. I know that was the Spirit guiding my words with truth. This is who the Holy Spirit is, right? Like the Spirit is a helper and he helps believers talk about Jesus. And when you look at John 15 and 16, what he's doing is he was shifting his disciples from relying on him in the flesh to now rely on him in the Spirit. Because it's better for you that I go so that the helper can come. And it's better for you to have the Spirit living inside of you than to have me walking next to you in the flesh. You know what Jesus is doing for the disciples? He was answering this question for them. What's next? What's next? After you leave, after you die, after you're resurrected, after you ascend, what's next? And he gave the disciples a peek into the future. And I want to do something similar for us as a family. Now, I am clearly, like, I do not have the gift of prophecy. I cannot see into the future. Do not call me Fritz Tadamas, right? Like, I don't have that ability at all. What I want to share with you are some things about the future of ministry at Lighthouse Community that we as elders and leaders have been praying, we believe that God is leading us to. And I want you as a church family to be aware of that, right? Because like we do this thing together. It's not like professionals on the stage doing it and we run the show. It's like, no, we're a family and we do this thing together, right? I'm your pastor, I love you, and the opportunity is for us to step into this and walk with God together. And so when we think about the future of ministry, there's three things that come out really, really strongly. The first one is this. As we're moving forward in ministry here at Lighthouse Community, one of the things we see for the future is what I would refer to as brilliant clarity on biblical truth. We are going to continue to move in that direction. That's something we've been a part of and has been a focus of our ministry from the very beginning, and that's not going to change, right? And so we are going to clearly, now, when I say that, that doesn't mean we're going to now start using, you know, five-syllable theological words to impress people and go, wow, this guy knows Greek, right? Like, that's not what this is about. This is about clearly explaining what the scriptures say and what they mean and how to walk with God. That's what biblical clarity brilliant clarity on biblical truth really looks like. We are committed to that. You'll see it on Sunday morning. You'll see it in Lighthouse Kids, Lighthouse Students. You'll see it in groups, right? This is what the church does more than anything else. This is actually the purpose of the church, to clearly teach Scripture, okay? The second thing for future of ministry is increased boldness or courage and humility to share the good news. That's the future of ministry at Lighthouse Community. Increased courage. We're asking the Holy Spirit to fill us with boldness and at the same time to stay really humble. I know some people with great boldness, and they share the gospel, they come off as total jerks. That's not how we roll here. And I know some other people who are so humble, they don't say anything about Jesus. They have no courage or boldness. We want to marry those things together. That's what Scripture talks about, that we can speak truth with boldness, but also humility to point people to hope in Jesus. And so we see us going in that direction. And here's the last one. It's very tempting sometimes when a church begins to grow, to go, oh, good, you have more people, you have more resources, you have more space. That means you're going to be doing more ministries. That's not what we see for the future of Lighthouse Community. It's not more ministries. It's more ministry to more people. We're going to keep doing what we do with greater clarity, greater focus, right? Greater like concentration on those things as opposed to diluting what we do to a great degree. People start thinking, well, when's the food drive coming? When do you do a clothing, whatever? How do you do? That's not what we're doing. The purpose of the church is to equip the saints for ministry and to share the gospel with amazing clarity. That's what we do. That's where we're going, because that's what Jesus has called us to do. Now, these three things, I think it's really easy, like, okay, we've got these on a paper, we're looking at them on a board, all that kind of stuff. Here's what I want to tell you. It's not like, okay, you put your, you know, your awesome plan together and you go after it. What it is, you know what this requires? A deeper relationship and fuller reliance on the Holy Spirit. That's how you get here. You don't get here through a 5-year, 10-year strategic plan. You get here because you learn how to rely on the Spirit to a greater and a deeper degree. Listen, we need the Holy Spirit for the future of ministry at Lighthouse Community. I don't mean we would like him. I don't mean it's a good idea. I don't mean we should. We need him. Every single one of us need the Holy Spirit living inside of us, leading us, guiding us, empowering us for the future of ministry. What was the name that Jesus gave to the Holy Spirit? He's the advocate. He's a helper. He's a counselor. He's one who comes alongside of you. Jesus said the Spirit would help you, which means you need help. And the sooner you own that truth, the sooner you can step into that. The sooner we own that as a church family, that we need help and we need it exclusively from the Holy Spirit, we now have stepped in to the future of ministry. Listen, even Jesus had the Spirit living in him to do ministry on the earth. Seriously, read the Gospels. How did Jesus come here in the flesh? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, who showed up? The Father spoke from heaven and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. Read Luke 4. See how involved the Holy Spirit is in the ministry of Jesus. It's really tempting to go, oh, Jesus, he's just the Son of God. He can do whatever he wants. But actually, he lived his earthly life empowered by and relying on the Spirit. Why? Because he is the first fruit. Right, 1 Corinthians 15, he's the first representation of what all the rest of us are going to look like. So of course Jesus would have the Spirit living in him and empowering him because we need the Holy Spirit living inside of us and empowering us. So how do we do that? Two things really quickly. First off, you got to get to know the Holy Spirit. You have to get to know the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing. And a lot of us, some traditions we come out of, you're like, you know, some people in Acts ago, we didn't even know there was a Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, what? I don't understand, right? And others of you come from traditions. You have really, really wanky understandings about the Holy Spirit, and you actually need to step away from those. And you need to get to know the Holy Spirit as the Scripture has revealed him and not as your theological tradition has led you to believe about him, okay? And why do you need to get to know the Holy Spirit? Why can't I just get to know Jesus? And I'll tell you why. Because Jesus lives in heaven and the Spirit lives in you. Jesus is in heaven right now. You need to know that. But the Spirit lives inside of you. So who do you think I should know just a little bit better? The one that's living in me. I should be able to recognize his voice. I should be able to rely on him in real time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 say this. Now it's God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. Notice that. You stand firm in Christ not because of you. You stand firm in Christ because of God, right? Empowering you. He anointed us. He set a seal of ownership on us. And he put a Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The Spirit lives in you. This is the core of what it is to walk with Jesus. We say yes to him by faith. When we say yes, we receive this deposit, this down payment that tells us we belong to him. The best way to get to know the Holy Spirit is not through emotions and it's not through experiences, but it's actually through exploring what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit. Learn who he is. So in fact, on the back of your blue connection card, I forgot to bring mine up with me, but there's a next step that says, hey, please send me the Know the Holy Spirit guide. We've put together a guide that can help you get to know the Spirit as the Bible reveals him and describes him so that you can start being more in tune to him leading in your life. So take that next step. Make sure your email address is on the front of that. We will send that to you tomorrow, and then you can spend time getting to know the Holy Spirit so you can rely on him in your life. Here's the second thing, last thing. Believe that the Spirit is working. Believe that the Holy Spirit is working. I get to coach two of my sons in high school soccer, which is a lot of fun. But one of the things that we coach them is to look for visual cues on the field, because visual cues will tell you when to press, when to delay, when to attack. Right? We say it this: your opponent will give you the answer on what to do. Right? But you have to read the visual cues. The same is true for us with the Holy Spirit. You have to look for the cues of the Spirit where he's working, because he is working, right? And so there are cues like this. Your friend, you're having coffee with your friend, and your friend shares with you that they regret this decision that they've made, and they wish they could figure out how to unmake it, right? And they have this desire to know God. Guess what that is? That is a cue that the Holy Spirit is at work, softening their hearts, drawing them to himself. A coworker shares with you at work that lately their life has felt on tilt and has felt really uneasy, and what they're thinking about is maybe what will help me is a new job, moving to a new city and getting a new job. That is a cue that the Holy Spirit is softening their heart, right? These are visual cues. Your daughter comes to you and asks you about the end of life. What happens when you die? And you go, that is an interesting question for a 15-year-old girl to ask their mom or dad. That's a cue. That's a cue that the Holy Spirit is working. And when you see those cues, you can share the good news about Jesus, because you know that the Holy Spirit is working in them, and he's also going to work through you and your words. The future of ministry at Lighthouse Community is marked by relying on the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, here's what I want to invite you to do. I want to invite you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to help strengthen you in trying times. Ask the Holy Spirit to soften hearts before you start sharing with people. And ask the Holy Spirit to guide your words with truth when you do speak. This is what ministry really looks like in the heart of it. But I also want to talk to those of you in the room and those of you joining online who you have not said yes to Jesus yet. Here's what I would say to you. Fight against the desire to resist the Holy Spirit's conviction in your life. Here's maybe a better way to say it. Receive the Holy Spirit's help. When he starts opening your eyes to sin, to righteousness, to judgment, you don't have to fight against that. You don't have to dive deep into shame and into guilt. What you can do, that's conviction. That's conviction. The Holy Spirit is convincing you that you need Jesus. The Holy Spirit is convincing you that you need God. Rather than resisting that, this is a great opportunity for you to instead say yes. And say yes to Jesus and let him change your life. Because the only way your heart goes from this to a living, beating heart is through receiving the love of Christ. You cannot soften, you cannot change your own heart. You need the ministry of Jesus Christ, and you need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to do that. The Holy Spirit is your helper. Let him help you. It's what he does. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We do this every Sunday. And this is just a moment to reflect on what the Spirit of God may be saying to you right now. And so I just want to give you an opportunity to listen just to him. the Holy Spirit helping is one of the main reasons I absolutely love offering this next ministry every single week. And it's the ministry of prayer. We want to pray for you as a church family. So let me tell you what's going to happen. The band, they're going to come up and they're going to lead us in just one more song. And as they come up, we're also going to have prayer leaders who are heading to the four areas in the room. So we'll have one around each TV here at the front. We'll have two in the back around the sound booth. They'll typically have on a gray lanyard of some kind, just to let you know that they're a prayer leader. And they're available to pray with you about absolutely anything at all in your life. And by the way, Lighthouse Online, right now in the chat, there should be a button that says, I'd like to pray with somebody, and you can pray with one of our online hosts in real time in this moment. And so what I'm going to invite you to do is you're going to, in just a moment, actually, let's do this right now. If you're in the house, let's stand together as we prepare. And what I'm going to do in just a moment is I'm going to invite you to come to one of the corners of the room and to pray with a prayer leader. And by the way, you can pray about anything. Anything at all. It can be something we've talked about this morning. It can be something totally to the side. There's no parameters on that. And the other thing is, if you're new, if this is your first time, you don't have to be like a member of our church to receive prayer. Anybody can receive prayer. And the last thing I would say is you never, never have to be embarrassed to want to receive prayer. Because we all need prayer, right? Like, I need prayer. Like, yesterday morning was a really, really challenging morning in my household. And man, I just turned to the Lord for prayer. And I was just with him for like an hour talking to him. And so, man, there's nothing wrong with that because we all need prayer, right? I need it, you need it, it's okay. And this is one of the ministries that we offer to you. So I'm gonna pray for you. And if you would like to pray with one of our leaders, I'm gonna invite you to step out of your seat, head to one of those corners, and we would pray for you. Holy Spirit, I am so thankful that you help us, and that Jesus said it's better to have you in us than to have him next to us. Help us to believe that and walk in that. But I would ask you to draw every single person who needs prayer right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com. or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.